Nostalgia calls because we're going to have a fascinating program this evening, and I'm sure it will make many of you stop and think seriously about what's going on. You know, there was, I guess it was in 1996 when TWA 800 went down, and there were, I think, well over 200 people who saw the missiles streak up into the sky. Actually, there were two missiles from the descriptions to take the plane down. But, of course, our government insists that it was the explosion in the central fuel tank. And they held national hearings, and there were officials of the National Transport Safety Board who simply got up, and they lied. And if you haven't yet seen the video, Silence, which is the story of TWA 800, where you actually see the witnesses, what they said, and then what the government officials said that they said. Now, they wouldn't bring any of the witnesses into the meetings. They just had an official there to tell the public what the witnesses had said, rather than bring in the witnesses. And, of course, it was obvious that the man who testified there under oath was frankly lying. Now, if you read the book, Osama bin Laden, the man who declared war on America, written by Joseph Badansky, who is the director of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare, he ought to know something about what's going on. He simply quotes the Islamic terrorists who said, "We shot down TWA 800. The day after it went down, they said, "We shot it down." In their publications, they say, "We shot it down." And our government said, "Oh, no, no, no. There was it was an explosion in the central fuel tank. You can trust us, after all. We're from the government." Well, I hate to say that we have some wicked people in government. I love this country. But I think that the wicked people have taken it over, and if we don't return to our constitutional system, ladies and gentlemen, why, no man's property or life are safe. Well, this evening we have with us is a very, very special guest, Karen Lee Bixman, the investigative reporter. And Karen Lee has been going into the background of United Flight 93. You remember the flight that took off from Newark and, of course, was hijacked and then went down in Pennsylvania. Now, the government, well, I'm going to let her tell the story. Karen Lee, why don't you tell us the story of United Flight 93?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. You know, first of all, on December 3rd, Newsweek published a story that supposedly was the real story of Flight 93. I read this story, and I just couldn't even believe it. I had contacted the reporters, or I had contacted Newsweek, because I was totally surprised, because supposedly this whole story is based on the voice pit, or the voice recordings from the cockpit and from the airplane. And I had been told, and I had the statement, that the FBI did not want to release that, because of the horror captured on the cockpit. Well, I found out that the FBI didn't release the recordings. They provided a written transcript to the Newsweek reporters. And the whole question of the story, really the validity, the credibility, I decided, you know, we really need to find out what happened. And so when I started digging, I found a completely different story than what was printed in Newsweek. You know, first of all, we have to know that Flight 93 left. It was originally scheduled to leave at 8:01 at Newark International Airport, but it was 40 minutes behind schedule. It left at 8:41. Now, the air traffic controllers at the Boston Air Traffic Center, this is located in Nassau, New Hampshire. They oversee most of the air traffic for the Eastern Seaboard. A controller there said that the two planes that had crashed into the World Trade Center, they got so close to each other that they almost crashed into each other down by Stewart International Airport. But he said that immediately after those two planes, Flight 11 American and United 175, as soon as they found out that those planes had been commandeered, they followed the FAA standard procedures for plane hijacking. They notified the government and they notified the military.
So basically, when they notify the military, does that mean that they automatically scramble their planes?
Yes, that is automatic procedure. And I read the flight manual that talks about the procedures for a hijacking. So as Dick Cheney would have us believe that the president needs to do all of this, the president needs to okay a shoot down or to put FAA or order the FAA to put F-16s in the air, that's not true. So it's standard operating procedure case like that.
So what you're saying is that somebody had to give orders for the planes not to go up, not to scramble, and try to intercept these planes.
This is what it is looking like, yes.
All right.
But then at 8:42, and really now 8:42, airlines of 11 from American crashed into the North Tower. Then at 9:03, 175 crashed into the South Tower. And then Flight 93, the air traffic controller in Ohio heard something, noise and commotion in the cockpit, and somebody say, get out of there. At the same time, passenger on Flight 93, Tom Burnett, contacted his wife, told her to alert authorities that the plane had been hijacked.
Now, what time was that?
This was at 9:20.
9:20, okay, mm-hmm. Fine.
Then, according to the controllers at the Nassau, New Hampshire Center, they stated that an F-16 fighter closely pursued United Airlines 93 until it crashed in southwestern Pennsylvania.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you're saying that there were fighter planes. Who said there were fighter planes pursuing?
This was the air traffic controller
okay. At
the Nassau, New Hampshire. That is called the Boston Air Traffic Control Center, and they're the ones that track all the air traffic on the eastern seaboard.
Now, we've been told, of course, that there weren't any planes in the air. Everything had been grounded. And now, of course, we're finding that there actually were fighter planes that had been scrambled and, of course, were in pursuit and overtaking Flight 93 United heading towards Pennsylvania or maybe even past Pennsylvania.
Well, that is correct. And this controller also stated that the F-16 made 360-degree turns to remain close to the commercial jet.
Because it would be flying so much faster than the commercial jet.
Right. So this F-16s were on every step of the way on Flight 93. Now then at 9:39, American Airlines Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon. Then at 9:45, we have a voice recording from Todd Beamer. He placed a phone call to the supervisor at Verizon Telephone. He told her that there were plans that they were going to take over the plane. And the last words that she heard, Beamer had yelled out, "Are you ready, guys? Let's roll." And then there was no more communication with her. Well, at 9:58, a male passenger from Flight 11 placed a 911 call. That was received by a dispatcher at the Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania Emergency Operations Center. The supervisor took the call. He said that it was a male passenger who had locked himself in the bathroom. He said he had heard an explosion, and he saw white smoke coming from the plane, but he didn't know where, and then they lost contact with him. Then about that time, eyewitnesses on the ground saw the plane flying overhead. They saw it roll from side to side. Another witness said he saw the plane fly upside down, and the air traffic manager at the Johnson-Cambria County Airport near Johnstown, said he received a call from the Cleveland Flight Center that Johnson-Cambria is a very little airport. They don't have radar, so they began a visual lookout for the plane. And he said they spotted the aircraft, and it was doing very unusual maneuvers at a very low level. Well, then at about 10:06, there was a resident by the name of Laura Teamer. She lives in Hooverville, Pennsylvania. She was hanging her laundry out on the clothesline. She heard a plane. She thought it was very strange because she had just been watching TV, and she learned that all the planes had been grounded. She said she heard a boom, and the engine sounded funny. And then she heard two more booms and then didn't hear anything else. Now, she has told her story twice to the FBI. She believes the plane was shot down. She says that she knows people in state law enforcement that have told her the same thing, that the plane was shut down and that the decompression sucked objects from the aircraft, which explains why there was a wide debris field, and the debris field on this crash was 8 miles from the crash site.
8 miles, in other words, is that 8 miles across or a radius of eight miles?
A radius of 8 miles.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it covers a tremendous, then, maybe 12, 16 miles wide where the debris was found, which would not be if this plane, as we've been told, had just simply crashed down straight into the ground. In other words, it had to have come apart fairly high in the air to have spewed debris over that large area. Would you say that would be a fair statement?
Yes. More than accurate. The mayor of Shanksville, Pennsylvania, gentleman by the name of Ernie Stuhl, he said that he knows of two people, he would not mention their names, that heard a missile. Both of these people live within a couple of hundred yards from the crash site. The one man is a Vietnam veteran. He said he has heard them. He's very familiar with the sound of a missile, and he knew that is what he heard. And the mayor has told people that from everything that he knows, that military F-16 fighter jets were very, very close. So then I interviewed eyewitnesses, again, who were very reluctant to go on the record.
In other words, they would talk to you off the record, but they why would they be afraid to come forward? Are they afraid of reprisal? Do they remember what happened to the people who witnessed John Kennedy's assassination? How many of them died? Why wouldn't they want to come forward?
Well, I had one lady who told me that when when she talked to the FBI and told them what happened, she was told not to tell anybody what she had told the FBI. And as she was being interviewed with two men, two FBI agents, as she was telling them what happened, they said, no, that couldn't have been what happened. You mean this is what happened?
In other words, they tried to make her say what they wanted. We were already, even at that time, doing damage control.
Yes, and she said, no, that isn't what happened, and she stayed to her statement. Then 3 days later, FBI agents came to her door again. And so what they have been doing is intimidating people, trying to get them to change their story. And most people are very, very frightened right now. But this one lady did tell me. She said, I know what I saw. She said, I saw this with my own eyes. And she said, everybody here knows what's happened. She says they're not fooling anybody.
But, of course, they fooled people across the United States. It's because, of course, the information is so tightly controlled. People there in Pennsylvania may have an idea in the surrounding area. But because they control the major media outlets, of course, they are able to control what the majority of the American people think. And the majority of the people honestly believe, of course, that the heroic passengers, and I'm not suggesting they weren't heroic. I think that they, if they charged in there, trying to take control of the plane, why we owe them a debt of gratitude. But the other question is, perhaps they did gain control or take control of the plane. We don't know. And the FBI does know because they have the voice recordings from the cockpit, and they refuse to let it out. Oh, they don't even say it's in the name of national security. It's just concern for the families. But the families have demanded to know, and, of course, the government will not let them know.
Right, and I talked to witnesses. Now, being the fact that the debris was scattered over an 8-mile radius, at first, there was an area called Indian Lake, which is about 6 miles from the crash site. They were finding debris in the lake. Several eyewitnesses, the one gal said it looked like confetti raining down all over the air above the lake. They tried to contact the FBI, and at first the FBI didn't want to come out there because they couldn't believe that the debris had gone that far. There was a man by the name of John Flegel. He witnessed the crash there on Indian Lake, and as soon as that occurred, he witnessed the crash. He saw the debris fly over the lake. Him and another employee of the marina jumped in the truck and drove toward the crash site. And he said they weren't even in their truck 5 minutes when there in the woods they spotted debris. There was an airplane seat that had landed on top of an abandoned cabin. He got up on top of it and pushed it off the cabin roof so a fire wouldn't start. Then the mayor has stated that in the woods about 2 miles away, they found one of the 1,000-pound engines that were on the plane. Well, now, because of all the widespread debris, the FBI Special Agent Bill Crowley has stated that the National Transportation Safety Board checked with the weather reports for that day and determined that a wind of speed of 9 knots was present, and that is why the material went through such a wide debris field.
A 9-knot wind would blow a 1,000-pound engine, probably even more than that, 2 miles from the crash site. They must think the American people are awfully gullible.
I guess they must, but this is the way they have tried to explain this away, and it is really ludicrous. Well, when people on the scene drove to the crash site, many of the eyewitnesses said things like it looked like the plane had been blown to bits, it looked like the plane had disintegrated. There was a huge crater in the ground, but very little debris at the crash site. I believe the longest piece of debris, the one witness said, was 2 feet long. So, again, you know, we have to say from all the eyewitnesses' accounts, everything, that the plane was definitely shot down by an F-16 missile. And, you know, to try to put together the scenario, we do know the plane was hijacked. We do know that the gentlemen on the plane, the heroes, got together, put together a plot to take the plane over. We don't know if they were successful or not. But we do know that some sort of struggle did go on because of the plane flying upside down and going from side to side. But if they had been successful, there was another passenger on board by the name of Robert Green, and he was the executive president of Safe Flight Instrument Corporation. He was a trained pilot, and from what I have been told, that a 757 is a relatively easy plane to fly. He would have been more than qualified to be able to fly that plane. But, you know, we do not know if the passengers or who had control of the plane when it was shot down by the F-16s. And, you know, Dr. Stan, when the congressional leaders met with the Capitol Hill police at the time, and they were told that that plane was bound for either the Capitol or Camp David. You know, we've talked about that there is an FAA order that talks about the standard operating procedure.
Now, what is the standard operating procedure? Now, they would, of course, immediately scramble the planes, but could they actually shoot without presidential authority?
Yes, they could. And it goes into great detail, but here the biggest thing of this is the Department of Transportation, the Department of Defense, the FBI, all the government organizations are even denying the fact that F-16s shadowed the plane. They will not even admit that, much less even talk about did they shoot it down.
But now, actually, some people actually saw the planes, didn't they, in the region?
Yes, they did. Many eyewitnesses did. And but they have all, even NORAD denied that F-16s were following Flight 93.
Now, isn't it that a lot of the flight controllers have been told not to talk about this? A lot of people have been ordered not to talk?
The day of the crash, we were fortunate that reporters right there on the scene locally had gone to the center in Nassau, New Hampshire. They had interviewed the controllers. They had been able to talk to Cleveland Center. By the time that I went back, I was checking these reports. I tried to talk to some of these controllers, and all I got was, we're not allowed to talk about this.
In other words, this is the standard approach somebody goes in and threatens the people. I saw this with Dr. Crenshaw, who was a young surgical resident at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, on the 22nd of November, 1963, when President Kennedy was brought in and Governor Conley was brought in, and he told me that he was ordered not ever to discuss what he saw that day, or, of course, his surgical career would be ruined. He would never practice medicine, and, of course, he kept quiet for 20 or more years before he eventually wrote a book that exposed what he had seen. Immediately, he was demonized and attacked by the American Medical Association. They wrote editorials about what a terrible, irresponsible, dishonest, crass, individual he was. He turned around and sued the American Medical Association. And you know what? They made a settlement. They didn't want to take it to court. Mm. But the thing is that they intimidate people, and most people do not have the courage to speak out. And have justification for not, because we go into the background of what happened to so many of the people who witnessed one or another aspect of the assassination of President Kennedy. Well, we have a book called The Dead Witnesses, and it's 109 was the last tally who died under somewhat strange circumstances. Could that happen in America? Well, I think the fact that you're running into this fact that people are told that they must not talk about it, if there's nothing to conceal, Karen Lee, why are they concealing it?
Well, you know, that has been my whole contention. If the government, really did, and everything that I have been able to conclude in this investigation, I would say beyond a shadow of a doubt that that plane, United Flight 93, was taken down by missiles from our F-16s. I think if they came out with the truth, people would understand. They would almost be justified. If you 50 or 60 people had to lose their lives, maybe to save the lives of 5, 10, 20,000 people, under the circumstances, I think people would understand. But if they're telling the truth, if they have nothing to hide, why are they hiding the truth?
And why are they withholding the black box? And of course, even if we do hear the tapes, we don't know that they haven't been doctored. But the fact that they are intimidating people, that they're going around to witnesses and telling them, they didn't see what they thought they saw. Why, this is exactly what they did with the Kennedy assassination. That's exactly what they did to the man who rented the Ryder truck, the Timothy McVeigh, and in Oklahoma. You did not see what you think you saw. And it's a standard operating procedure when you're trying, of course, to keep the American people from learning the truth. And yet, how can we have a free society when we have people who are dedicated to deceit?
Well, in the whole timeline on this, Dr. Stan, the Pentagon has stated that the F-16 fighters were not scrambled until 9:30. They have denied that they ever shadowed Flight 93. They've denied they shot it down. They have been very vague about the location. There were three North Dakota Air National Guard F-16s that were based at Langley Air Force Base right there in Virginia. The Pentagon has been vague about to the location of those planes during the attacks. You know, we have to realize that if, as the controllers stated, and I don't see why the controllers would lie, again, we have the FAA manual that states the procedures that are to be taken. Flight 93 didn't take off until 8:41. Both of those planes had been commandeered that hit the towers. The military was aware within 8 minutes that those planes had been commandeered. We have a big time frame. Then even the flight at 9:39, American Airlines 77 that crashed into the Pentagon, there was a big chunk of time here that those F-16s could have been up in the air. Surely the crash in the Pentagon could have been prevented. I don't know. I can't say for sure that the crash into the WTC would have been prevented, but I do know that, it was almost something like 35 minutes, even more that, more like 75 minutes, from the time that they were aware of the first hijacking to the time when they say supposedly that the military planes were scrambled. I am of the contention, after doing this story, that I believe someone told the military, someone told the Air Force to stand down, not to intercept these planes and to let them do their damage. But in the case of Flight 93, it did not go to its intended target in Washington, D.C. I believe that they had to make sure that that plane was taken down because I don't believe they wanted the hijackers alive. There has been a lot of confusion about the identity of the hijackers. I have stated in previous stories that if the government did not know who did this, how then could they state with such accuracy who the hijackers were when their hijackers' names were not on the passenger list? There were no Arabic names on there, but yet the FBI was able to come out with 17 names of hijackers with their photographs. My question would be, if the hijackers had lived and they interrogated them, would they show maybe that Osama bin Laden was not behind this? Could Saddam Hussein have funded this? I think it was very important to the government that nobody on that flight was alive to talk about what happened.
Well, there's so much out there that we're not getting the truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the listening audience, you may have a feeling of sort of helplessness. Well, you're not helpless, and you can help me. I'm appearing on other people's radio programs across America. Yesterday I did two other programs besides my regular programs. As you know, I ordinarily do five programs every day. And 5 hours of programs, and then I do the additional programs as well. And what I'm suggesting is that people call their congressmen and demand an independent congressional evaluation, an independent congressional commission to investigate downing of Flight 93 and, of course, the attack on the World Trade Center of the Pentagon. We need to get to the bottom of it. Now, you would think that somebody would have wanted to investigate why our intelligence agencies, with $30 billion a year, had no idea that anything was going to happen, had no idea that they were going to use airplanes and crash them into our buildings, when if you get the September 24th issue of New Yorker magazine, and you can probably get that at your library, November 24th has a black cover. New Yorker magazine, there's an article in there that talks about a man named Joseph Badansky, and I referred to him earlier. He is the director of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare. So he works with Congress, and he says in this article, by the mid-1980s, we knew that the Iranians were planning on hijacking our airplanes and flying them into our buildings. We knew by the mid-1980s that the Iranians were planning on hijacking our airplanes and flying them into our buildings. And you mean the FBI had no knowledge about the things that the chairman, the director of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare knew? Of course they knew. They just don't want the American people to know that they knew just about what was going to happen. In fact, one of these evenings I'll give you the smoking gun that they're so frightened that the American people will find, and that's why they're doing everything they can to stop a congressional committee, congressional investigation. I want every one of you to call your congressman and demand there be a congressional investigation. Let's bring the pressure to bear. Let's get one. Let's get the truth. Karen Lee, we've got 3 minutes. If you'd like a cup of coffee or a drink of water, and we'll be right back, and we'll open up our lines for questions, okay?
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, with us is Karen Lee Bixman, the investigative reporter. And before I forget, Karen Lee, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your material. Now, you can't put the price of your product out, but you can put out your telephone number, and they can get in touch with you and find out the cost of it. So why don't you give the background?
Okay, Dr. Stan, this is a February issue that will be going out the middle of February to all of my subscribers, And we are, for all the people that subscribe newly, we are backdating those to September because I have written so much information on 9/11 that people want. And so we have a lot of hot stories that I have done, you're aware of, on your show as well. If people would like information on getting a subscription to the Investigative Reporter, they can call our office at 562-493-8957. That's 562-493-8957. Or if they would like our mailing address or want information about a subscription, they can also send me an email. That's Karen Lee Bixman at hotmail.com.
Okay, fine. And let's go to... We've got Bruce calling in here from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
Hey, good, Dr. Stan. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Great, thanks. Intriguing program tonight. I just wanted to call in and make a statement about on September 11th. I actually heard it reported on the news that there was allegedly an F-16 that had shot down that Pennsylvania flight.
But it's amazing how they can cover that up. I mean, it'll get out once or twice.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they put the orders out to the people within the media. And, of course, the big propaganda machine goes into function, and suddenly everything disappears.
Right. I heard it once, and that was
right.
I was driving in my car, and actually it was on another talk radio program, the G. Gordon Liddy program, and
right. He
read it right off of the... a wire service or something. That
Do you remember the Oklahoma City bombing where, of course, the initial report was there were these people, these Near Easterners, looked like they were Arabs, and they were in blue running, or they were in some sort, I think, a blue pickup or a brown pickup, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, then, within about, just a few hours later, the people in control said no. There was no people, there were no Arabs, there was no brown pickup. Actually, of course, the reason they had to suppress that is because there's a very definite relationship between the Oklahoma City bombing and, of course, what happened on September 11th. In fact, David Shippers, who headed the committee that actually led the impeachment in the House of Representatives for President Clinton, David Shippers was hired by Jana Davis of Oklahoma City, the courageous investigative reporter from Channel 4, who had tracked down John Doe 2 and John Doe 3 and John Doe 4. She had five boxes of documents and signed affidavits pointing to the fact that, of course, there was a conspiracy far more extensive than Timothy McVeigh, and the government knew about it and was covering for it. It involved Arabs from the Near East. It tied right into Osama bin Laden, and she knew that years ago, and she tried to get this information out. The FBI refused even to look at her material. David Shippers took it to Washington, D.C., and he knew everybody there. He had worked with John Ashcroft and Dennis Hassler, and he had worked with the people from the Senate Intelligence Committee. Not one of them would look at that material because they're afraid. If they look at it, why then they would be asked, why didn't you do anything about it? They had advanced knowledge. David Shippers kept trying to tell them about the attack that was coming, and they didn't want to hear about it. They were all afraid. And when even the members of Congress and the leaders of our government are afraid of something, then we're in real trouble.
Right, yeah, it's an incredible government media complex cover-up, isn't it? It's just... blows me away.
And incidentally, for our listeners who may question what I've just said, I suggest you go to Infowars.com, that's Alex Jones' website, and pull down his interview with David Shippers, Shippers, S-H-I-P-P-E-R-S. Get that. Alex has got a great website up there. We'll have a lot of his material in my coming newsletters, but if you want to check out what I just said, about, of course, how John Ashcroft would not look at the material. The Speaker of the House, Hassler, would not look at the material. The Senate Intelligence Committee would not look at the material. And then ask yourself, what are they afraid of? And I think that the answer is they understand there's a power there, a power that's so powerful that people speak only of it in hushed voices.
Yeah. I agree. And, well, I appreciate your program, Dr. Stan, and keep up the good work. And I don't want to take up any more of your time and your guest time tonight. But
oh, well, God bless you. Thanks so much for calling, Bruce.
Bless your heart, too. Thanks a lot, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. My telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Karen Lee, have you heard anything similar to what Bruce was just saying?
Well, actually, Dr. Stan, in doing this story, I have 17 footnotes on this story. I have 50 points of reference that I reviewed. I can't tell you the hundreds of hours. I had videotape. I've got about 60 hours of videotape of the events of 9/11. And part of the review of that tape, we do have the newscaster's commentary stating that F-16s were following the plane, that they had shot it down. But Bruce was right. That was only stated once. And then after that, I think there was even a retraction. They said, no, that was incorrect. That was not the case. So, you know, if you are fortunate enough when an event comes and happens like this, if you can throw a tape in the VCR, you get a lot of first-hand reaction, first-hand information, sometimes before they're able to cover it up. And, you know, but they do it so quickly. You know, you maybe have about the first hour or so of actual news reporting, and then after that, the spin doctors take over.
It's really so interesting. We have, of course, in our in our what we call the sampler, and it's basically just film clips that our mutual friend David Wagner puts out. But anybody out there who's interested really should get this. And you'll see the film clips were shot in Oklahoma City and played in Oklahoma City on the day of the bombing, as they talk about the second bomb, the third bomb inside the building that had not gone off, that they were able to identify and, of course, to defuse. And then even the bomb experts talking about how lucky they were to have gotten these other bombs, because now they could find out who had put them in the building. And then, of course, that was totally blacked out across America. But if anybody would like to see that film footage, we have that on something we call the sampler, part of the amazing clips. But you need to get the information. You need to find out the truth. And then you need to help us get it out across America. Don't be like the lady who called the other day, who was very, very critical of one of the programs I put on. So I offered to send her a free video. Now, I can't do that with everybody. If you're out there in the listening audience, don't ask me to send you a free video, because but we certainly can't afford to do that. But in this one instance, I really felt that a very, very sincere lady, very, very honestly concerned about something that Ben said. And so I said, I will send you a free video. Just watch it, and you can keep it, or you can send it back, or you can pay for it. You can do whatever you want to. It's yours. And she started to give me her name, and then she said, no. She said, I want to believe what I believe. I don't want to change my beliefs. And I think that is an attitude of a lot of people. They are not concerned about the truth, why they have a very comfortable set of beliefs, and please don't bother me with the truth. I'm comfortable the way I am. But unfortunately, in times like this, we can't afford to be comfortable. We need to get the truth, and those of you in the listening audience need to help us get it out. Well, Karen Lee, you know, I think what the most frightening thing is the obvious cover-up of the truth. Do you think it's possible that the passengers on board actually were able to regain control of the plane? Do we have any idea?
Well, you know, I think it is more than possible. I think we can definitely say that there was a struggle on board because of the erratic movement of the plane. But again, you know, there's absolutely no way, unless we were actually able to hear the actual voice recordings, there's no way that we will ever know, really, if they were successful.
Well, now, of course, you said that it was at 9:45 that Todd Beamer called. Did he talk for 10 minutes, or
he
was it at 9:45 when they rushed the terrorists?
He talked to the Lisa Jefferson, who was the supervisor at Verizon. He initially placed the call to her at 9:45. His conversation ended at 9:58. 9:58 is the same time that the male passenger who had locked himself in the bathroom called 911 to state that the plane, he had heard an explosion and there was smoke coming from the plane.
So it sounds then they had about 8 minutes before, between that and the time the plane crashed?
Right. And, you know, these men were burly men, they were athletic. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that these men, also, you know, you have an adrenaline rush at the time. I don't think three hijackers in a cockpit with box cutters, frankly, would be able to resist three men coming after them like that.
And, of course, it might have been that many of the other passengers would have joined in.
That's right. So, but it, then again, you know, we have to leave that up to speculation because we just don't know. But I think we can say and confirm this over and over again by eyewitness accounts, controllers, statements, and so forth, that this plane was shot down by missiles from an F-16. And the thing that continues to bother me is the cover-up. The subterfuge, it was very interesting. You know, Dick Cheney was on September 16th on Meet the Press. And he was talking about the president authorizing the shoot down of Flight 93. He said, oh, yes, we decided to do it. We put a combat patrol over Washington. We put AWACS up there so that, you know, they could stay up a long time. But the plane crashed in Pennsylvania before, you know, we had to worry about that happening. The whole interview from Cheney left people with the impression that F-16s are not scrambled until the president gives authorization. What I wanted to remind your listeners of, if you remember a few years ago, I don't know if I can remember his complete name. Was it Stuart Payne, the golfer, who had his private aircraft? He had a heart attack on board, and they were able to follow the plane for like 2 hours. It flew on autopilot until it ran out of fuel and crashed.
This was once there was supposedly there was no oxygen in the cabin, and everybody had died of asphyxia, but the plane was still flying, right?
Right. Well, if people will remember, there were immediately F-16s tailing that plane. As soon as and it did not need presidential authorization for those F-16s to go up and tail that plane. Again, you know, this is standard procedure from the FAA, and within minutes, when a flight controller senses something that is wrong with the aircraft, if they do not get response from the pilot in a certain amount of minutes, they will immediately contact the government, and F-16s are sent up. So that is why I say within, I would say, 5 to 8 minutes of those two planes being hijacked, that were crashed into the World Trade Center. The government, the military was aware. They were contacted. Again, there was a brief span of time. The plane crashed in the Pentagon. I firmly believe that had our F-16 fighters been up, and I believe they were, but I believe these attacks could have been prevented, but I believe that someone gave the authority and told the military to stand down on those days.
Well, our telephone number is 464-8295. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call if you have a question, you have a comment. And, you know, there's so many strange things if you look back on that day, September 11th, within just a couple of hours after the attack. They were interviewing Henry Kissinger, who was telling us it was Osama bin Laden behind what had happened. He was telling us we're at war with the terrorism. And before long, it was almost like somebody had given the orders that day, we're at war with terrorism, we're at war with terrorism, we're at war with terrorism. How do you go to war with terrorism? I mean, terrorism is not a country. You don't go to war with a group of criminals, because terrorists are criminals. But of course, by saying it over and over and over again, the war against terrorism that suddenly aligned us with the Soviet Union, one of the greatest terrorist countries of all time, and with Communist China, the major funder of communism, and pardon me, a major funder of terrorism, and with Syria, who's been funding the terrorist activities for a long time, and certainly with Pakistan, that really is one of the major terrorist countries. They've been funding the terrorist movement against India for a long period of time, and they have been, of course, the ones who had trained the Taliban, who took over Pakistan back in about 1996. They were all Pakistani students who had been trained in the Islamic schools there, funded by Saudi Arabia, and of course they were recruited and sent in to take over Afghanistan, so Afghanistan wouldn't be a threat on Pakistan's north border. And yet, of course, now Pakistan is our ally in the fight against terrorism. That is all so ridiculous. We talk about democracy, and yet we're backing dictators like Musharraf, who's the dictator of Pakistan, and of course the dictators in Saudi Arabia, and the dictators in Syria, and most of the countries, the Islamic countries, Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan and all those stand companies. They're all dictatorships, and yet of course we're buddy-buddy with all of those. In fact, we had our people actually training in Kazakhstan or Turkistan, several years, and Uzbekistan several years before the September 11th attack. We were already positioning ourselves for this war long before the terrorists attacked us.
Well, Dr. Stan, I have a very interesting quote by General Clark Wesley. He is the former commander of NATO. And again, as I was watching all this videotape, he was interviewed on NBC on September 11th, and he stated, "We've known for some time that there were groups planning this."
This is the Rhodes Scholar, isn't it? Is it Scott Wesley or is it Wesley Clark?
Wesley Clark,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so he actually said, "We've known that there are groups planning to do this."
We've known for some time that there were groups planning this.
Right.
So, the whole theory, we've covered this a lot, that the government did know. But I would say that, if the passengers on Flight 93 were allowed to live, I'm afraid that the hijackers, if they were alive, maybe they wouldn't be sitting there pointing the finger to Osama bin Laden, and it would be ruining the plan that's going on right now. You have to remember that, 9/11 has launched us into a war in Afghanistan. It has been the reason why all this legislation has been passed, such as the Patriot Act and other legislation, to restrict our constitutional freedoms and rights. None of this could have taken place if those hijackers were able to talk and say, well, you know what? No, Osama bin Laden doesn't have anything to do with this. We're getting our funding from Saddam Hussein or whoever it may be. I think there was a very important reason why they had to make sure that no one on that plane was alive to talk about it. And it's very, very sad when we have to think that we've had those American lives sacrificed, time and time again, Dr. Stan, over a period of history, for the truth is silenced, lives are sacrificed, so the government can go on with their agenda.
Well, let me just say to our listeners, if you're interested in what really happened in a historical perspective, I think my video, The War in Arabia, will give you an entirely new insight into what it's all about. That's The War in Arabia. And if you decide you'd like to get that, and you can call Mary at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for a suggested donation and ask for The Smoking Gun. We'll send you copies of the articles out of the India Times in October of last year that tells you where the money for this attack came from. Now, the India Times, there's three articles in the packet, I think one or two of them from India, and I think one is from Pakistan. But basically, the India Times was following through on this story that Muhammad Atta had been financed with $100,000 from Germany. But we know that $100,000 from Germany came from Pakistan from many, many sources. Now, who was it then in Pakistan who authorized the money? Why was the man named General Muhammad Ahmand, A-H-M-A-N-D, Ahmand. And General Ahmand, of course, was the general in charge of Pakistani intelligence, the ISI. In fact, on the day of the September 11th attack, General Muhammad Ahmand was in Washington, D.C., conferring with his counterparts here in the CIA, because the CIA and the ISI, Pakistani intelligence, are almost one and the same organization. They've worked together for years, actually financing this Islamic terrorist movement, and we have this from many, many sources. The book Dollars for Terror, a new book on the Taliban written by a Pakistani. The CIA has been financing this whole movement, and of course, it was their man in Pakistani intelligence, ISI, who actually put up the money that was sent to Muhammad Atta, that was used to finance this whole thing. And the fact that Barbara Walters hasn't told you that, or Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw, once again reflects the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. It's all up there on the Internet. If you'd like copies of those articles, why just ask for the Smoking Gun. Get this information. Help us to get it out, and then demand. Call your congressman and demand a congressional investigation of what really happened, and you tell them about what I just said. They can check it out. It's up on the web, and we'll give you the exact dates and the websites. Get the information and ask yourself, well, if we know that Muhammad Atta led the terrorist attack, and he got $100,000 from Germany that came from Pakistan from the head of the ISI that works with the CIA, maybe that's why the people associated with the CIA, the CIA-controlled banks, were actually shorting United Airlines and American Airlines stock. Do you think that could be the case?
Well, yes, and you know, Dr. Stan, I had done a radio show earlier today on a San Francisco network, and a caller called in, and she said, you know, she said, I can believe that the government shot down the plane, but she said, I think that the reason why they don't want people, they don't want to tell the truth, is to protect the family of the passengers. And, you know, I am finding out, Dr. Stan, you know, as I do a lot of radio all over the country, just as you do, I think, as you said earlier, people are going to believe what they want to believe. And, you know, it's very hard to poke a pinhole in that little bubble that they have surrounded them. It's very hard to believe that your government is lying to you. And you and I know I've said the statement many, many times. I have come to the conclusion that I don't even know if our government is capable of telling the truth anymore.
Well, it's really not our government. It's the wicked people. I mean, we've got a lot of good people in government. But, of course, if they speak out, they lose their job. And that's the tragedy. As the whistleblower, you think he has protection? Actually, they passed new laws to take away all of his protection, and he can go to prison for telling the truth.
Yes.
And that, of course, is the tragedy here in America today. And, of course, it's not going to change until we demand that we get to the truth, and we demand the information in the black box, and, of course, we demand a congressional investigation to find out about why they've covered up the relationship between General Muhammad Ahmad, A-H-M-A-D, and, of course, that $100,000 used to finance the terrorists. We're just about out of time. Let's get your telephone number and your website out again.
Okay. The investigative reporter, our number is 562-493-8957, or they can send us an email inquiry, KarenLeeBixman@hotmail.com.
One more time.
Again, KarenLeeBixman@hotmail.com is my email, and the number is 562-493-8957.
God bless you, Karen Lee.
Thank you.
We'll be talking to you tomorrow on our Saturday program. And well, till then, may the Lord be with you. All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that that we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield. And until you understand that there are spiritual forces on the other side as well as political and ideological forces, you're not going to be able to be effective in this battle. If you have any question, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to see our video on the Brotherhood of Darkness or get the tape. Help us to get the truth out. Demand a congressional investigation. And we're going to be back with you. And, to our listeners up there in the great Northwest, of course, we'll be back with you on Monday. And to the rest of our listeners, we'll be back right after the break. So, to the people in the Northwest, good night. And, again, may the Lord be with you.